before you start, I think I neglected to also say as the moderator that I have no financial interest to disclose. I wish I did.
Good morning. My name is Nadav Davidovich. I'm a public health physician at the Health System Management Department at Ben-Gurion University. And this work is with my colleagues, Noah Gottlieb. She's a PhD student in our department. And Oli Almi, that was working with Physicians for Human Rights. And now she's an independent researcher. So I'm going to present our work that was conducted with residents of the unrecognized Bedouin Arab villages in the Negev, the south of Israel. So the map is missing. It should be there, a map of Israel. Maybe it was censored because it was some kind of a map that maybe, no, I'm kidding. A few general words on the unrecognized villages. Non-recognition means that the state does not consider the villages as legal settlements related to a conflict over lands, and as a result, they lack infrastructure, services, urban planning, and development. Half of the Bedouin Arab population of the south of Israel lives in such unrecognized villages in the area marked in red on the map. Fertility rates are very high compared to the Jewish population, that is about 2.9, and the population is very young. More than 60% are under the age of 17. It is also the population group with the weakest socioeconomic status in Israel regarding education, unemployment, and income. I must say that the Minister of Health invested lots of energies in the last decade, and infant mortality rates actually decreased over the last 5 years and also the gap to the Israeli population has decreased, but still it is threefold the infant mortality rate of the Jewish population, about 11.5 compared to 4.5 in 2007. So needless to say in this forum that water is essential for health. It is important to have access to sufficient quantity of water, also of adequate quality. All these three dimensions are crucial. The WHO defines water source as accessible if it is not farther than 1 kilometer or 30 minutes away, and it is set the minimal standards in terms of a quantity that you can see here, 50 liters per day, and there are of course manifold other parameters and standards regarding water quality. So the WHO emphasizes that access is the most crucial among the three aspects. For example, better access to water alone could reduce the prevalence of diseases such as cholera, typhoid, dysentery, and trachoma. It is also important to keep in mind that in all of these three dimensions, part of the problem with water supply are man-made. And this is, of course, a very important aspect of our discussion in this session. So before going to my case study, some words about water and human rights. The right to water is recognized as one of the basic and universal human rights, and as such, it is interrelated with other human rights, such as the right to health and to healthy development, to an adequate standard of living. From the perspective of human rights, it is the state obligation to ensure availability, accessibility, and quality of water for all persons under its governance. It has to do so in an equitable manner, that is, in a non-discriminatory manner, and with special attention for marginalized and vulnerable groups. And from the perspectives of public health ethics, an important point is that better access to water has the potential to reduce the global burden of disease significantly and to help reduce social and health discrepancies. I mean, this is more from the utilitarian point of view, but nevertheless, it's also an important aspect. But growing scarcity of water and the commodification and privatization, as mentioned before, of water resources are obstacles to better and more equitable water accessibility. And as I said before, many of these problems in this context are actually man-made. Human Development Report in 2006 said, lack of access to water is, I'm quoting, manufactured through political processes and institutions that disadvantage the poor, end of quote. Often political conflicts pay out on water distribution. For example, the hegemonic party abuses access to water as leverage against a certain population group. Also, sometimes existing ethnic or political inequalities can lead to lesser accessibility. And now I'm coming to the specific case study of the unrecognized villages and the residents' access to water. In general, in Israel, the Ministry of Infrastructure is responsible to water-related issues on the legislative level. The Water Commission is responsible for implementation, that is, protection of resources, allocation, use, operation of water installations, and Mekorot, it's in Hebrew, a government-owned company, is the main water supplier, supplying about 90% of the water. The Ministry of Health is responsible only for water quality. However, to the unrecognized villages, a special allocation process applies. At least 10 families jointly apply to water committee, which makes a respective recommendation. This was a high court petition also. And finally, this high court petition concluded that the state is responsible to have water points in these unrecognized villages, although they're still illegal according to the state. So we have this apparatus of the water committee that is under the Bedouin authority, an institution that exercises control over the Bedouin population. The committee is made up only of by representatives of institutions such as Bedouin authority, Green Patrol, representative of the police, Israeli Defense Forces, so you can imagine the politics in this institution. And the Ministry of Health actually, for example, or the communities themselves are not even represented in the commission. In this context, it is important to understand the relationship between the Bedouin Arab communities and such governmental bodies, which are characterized by fear and mistrust from part of the Bedouin Arab population. To give you some numbers, between 2003 and 2006, most applications were denied, but it is not clear on which ground decisions are taken since the procedures are not transparent. Today, following the Supreme Court petition I mentioned before, there are about 300 water points that exist in unrecognized villages. And it's a kind of a catch-22 because you have the water point, but because the villages are not recognized, so and nothing is planned, so you cannot connect from the water point to the houses, actually. So all of these connections are made by families that are doing them by themselves. So in these cases, a group of families achieved an individual agreement with the water committee sometime to have the water point closer to their house. The water provided Mekorot is responsible for water supply and quality up to the central water point. The families themselves are responsible for the individual connection from the water point to their home that can be even 5 miles away. That is, water quality at the point of exit is unchecked, and water quantity is low and can be also very irregular due to the inappropriate system and lack of pressure, for example, or moving from lower places to the hills. Each central water point is shared by an average of 250 persons, including also, of course, their herds, farm animals like sheep, camel, chicken. That is part of the average consumption of 100 liters per day goes to the families, animals, and other modes of livelihood. But more than half of the population of unrecognized villages does not have even such a water point. This way, families spend a lot of money on water supply. For example, they purchase water from families with a water point, they rent a tractor for transportation, etc. Ultimately, many get water also from unchecked sources, such as wells. Further, transportation and storage in inadequate containers reduces the water quality and creates health risks. The Ministry of Health last water quality check raised the following concerns, and this was conducted only in 1995. And I'm quoting, consumers who receive pipeline water are exposed to problems arising primarily from regrowth of bacteria, especially in storage containers near the encampment. And water pits still being used in some cases as a source of drinking water are a dangerous source of bacterial infection. High morbidity rates in the Bedouin Arab population are documented, for example, with regard to infectious diarrheal and respiratory diseases, especially in children. And we know that infant mortality rates are high, that I mentioned already before, which is a general indicator for the population health. But still, there are no comprehensive epidemiological studies that link health issues in the villages to the issue of water accessibility and quality. And the last quality check conducted by the Minister of Health that I mentioned before was actually conducted in 1995. Now I want to present a brief analysis of the role of different stakeholders. Under above-described arrangements, the institutions of the Israeli water economy are responsible only for the central water connections. Since the water points are in private ownership, they are released from accountability for maintenance, distribution, and water quality. These burdens are shifted to the owners. At the same time, this arrangement fuels conflicts between and within Bedouin communities and exacerbated socioeconomic inequalities. Private owners charge higher prices from other families for water or for tractor rental. The Ministry of Health sees itself responsible only for the water quality at the central water points. It refuses to make any statements regarding water allocation and the population need for water to maintain health and public health. The relationship between the Bedouin Arab communities and the authorities is highly problematic because they are regarded with suspicion and fear. The bodies that the residents of the unrecognized villages see as legitimate representatives are themselves unrecognized by state authorities. That is, they do not have the official status of community or political representatives. Also, they connect issues like water issue to the underlying political question for the recognition of the villages. They are thus not regarded as a partner for practical solution and are left out of decision-making process. And of course, we need to remember that the Bedouin Arab communities themselves are not united. Families that could obtain a water connection fade out of the common struggle. On the contrary, they have an interest in selling the water to others. This adds to pre-existing tensions between different families. NGOs have mostly concentrated on legal advocacy, for example, via petition to the High Court of Justice and International Court of Justice. Such processes take a very long time and there is a high risk of failure. Also, NGOs are not always united under the common cause, and divergent paradigms and working modes can hinder effective coalitions and collaborations. Another strong player in the Israeli context is the lobby for the agricultural sector, which has a marked interest in maintaining the status quo because it currently enjoys generous water allocation and water prices. So here you can see a bit of the relationship between the different stakeholders, the Ministry of Infrastructures, the agricultural lobby, the communities themselves, and of course, are not a monolithic entity, and they have their own struggles, many times augmented by the current status quo. NGOs that can choose different routes, and the Minister of Health that up until now sees himself responsible only for water quality and central connections. The governmental policies towards the unrecognized villages have been interpreted, can be interpreted as carrot and stick strategies, also with regard to water. The fact that only 14% of the requests for water connections were approved in recent years shows that the core decision did not lead the way to a solution to the problem. At the same time, it shows that the main concern of the committees is not the well-being and health of the population. The access to water is used as a means of pressure by the hands of the state in the conflict between the state and the communities. And sometimes it is granted as a gesture of goodwill toward families that are more compliant. This fuels tensions and inequalities between and within the Bedouin Arab communities, which can be interpreted as a strategy of divide and rule. And finally, the Ministry of Health is anxious to maintain a strictly apolitical and purely professional role. So now I'm coming to the conclusion and recommendations. So the political framework I've just described strengthens the argument that access to water should be dealt with a matter of basic human rights and public health ethics in an effort to prevent abuse as leverage in a political conflict. Accordingly, the Ministry of Health should accept its responsibility for this population health, that is, it should adopt a more proactive role in matters of water allocation. Public health specialists can find more ways to actively participating in the quest for more equitable access to water if they adapt the framework of human rights and public health ethics into their research, consideration, and decision-making processes. And of course, in any decision-making and planning process, the respective communities should be involved. A new assessment of status quo needs in terms of water supply in the unrecognized villages is needed. And finally, it would help if all involved parties would reframe the water question as a common cause and maybe as an opportunity for cooperation, collaboration, and route to reconciliation and peace. And maybe with this more optimistic point, I will end, and I think this aspect applies also to the international context. Thank you.